Conversations from Africa with Chris Bishop.
Hello and welcome to Conversations from Africa. I'm Alex Clark and I'll be speaking to Chris Bishop, Managing Editor of Forbes Africa magazine. On today's programme, calls for some poultry protectionism have heated up South Africa's chicken war, and authorities have set their sights on a fresh produce cartel.
Conversations from Africa with Chris Bishop.
Chris, you're going to have to explain this first story from me. A new survey by the South African Poultry Association says for every 10,000 tonnes of chickens dumped from Europe, there's a loss of 1,000 jobs in Africa. What does that mean?
Well, this is figures from the South African Poultry Association, but the chicken war of Africa is a big one and it's hotting up. And it's amazing how it's captured the imagination of people. It's all over the press, a lot of people talking about it. Essentially, at the heart of it is that you've got producers in Europe and Britain including, and many countries in Europe, and how they make their money is that most chicken eaters in Europe, apparently, they're like chicken breast, the most tender.
Yeah, I prefer chicken breast. I definitely prefer chicken breast.
Yeah, me too, actually. But anyway, chicken breast. So what they do, they take the breast off and sell it for quite a lot of money in Marks and Spencer, whatever. And then the rest of it is throw away, the legs and the wings and what have you. So what they do, they export them at incredibly low prices just to get rid of them to South Africa. Well, Africa in general, but South Africa in particular, because there's quite a big chicken eating market there. If you remember, South Africa is the home of Nando's restaurants. The birthplace of Nando's restaurants.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. It was born in Johannesburg. I know the man who was behind it, called Robbie Brosin, who launched it. He bought, he was a TV repair, he was an electronics salesperson, and he used to go to this Portuguese restaurant at night with his mate. And they said, wouldn't it be brilliant if we get the same meal every night and the same meal all over town? They bought the old Portuguese guy out who owned the place and started off running their own restaurant. They built into a chain, as you know, which is a chain. There's one in every town in England. And
immensely popular here.
Yeah, it's very popular, you know, and that's what I'm saying. There's a huge market for chicken in Africa. So what's happening, these wings and legs are coming to the continent and they're very, very cheap. So what they're doing, they're undercutting people who actually produce chicken in Africa, which is quite a big industry, bearing in mind it's quite a big market. And what's happening is that the producers, I'm sorry to say this, they're crying foul over this in South Africa. I'm sorry, I had to say it. But because they're saying it's unfair. And they're saying that how can they have dumping in their markets, number one. Number two, they're saying when they try to compete the other way around, European producers say, sorry, you guys have got salmonella and whatever else. We can't accept your chicken. So they can't compete on an open playing field. And so, chicken places have already gone. They've already shut down already. Some of the ones that have been around for years. And now the Poultry Association, to warn it, say for every 10,000 tons, 1,000 more jobs are going to go. And we're talking tens of thousands of jobs in raising chickens in Africa. And it's amazing how it's got quite an emotive issue. I mean, they've been saying to the government, they've been saying, right, give us tariffs. And the government's been saying, well, you know, we're going to try and help you out. But we, you know, it's very difficult to stop slapping tariffs on goods from Europe because it can get us into trouble with the World Trade Organization. But also it can cause retaliation from the European side.
We do not want the chicken war to escalate.
Well, exactly. But I mean, I don't know what people are going to do, like start exporting chicken breasts to Europe or something in retaliation. But I don't know. But there's not a lot they can do. And also, these guys are very hard-pressed because the costs have been rising, particularly the cost of electricity has been rising many, many times down the years, which is a big factor in, obviously, keeping chickens alive and raising them from eggs and what have you. So that's another thing that's been happening. The cost of feed has been rising. So it's a very, very difficult time for the chicken industry. I mean, they've had protest marches. I mean, we had a story the other day with one of the bosses of one of the chicken companies marching shoulder to shoulder with his workers on the streets.
Wing to wing.
Calling for government protection. It's amazing. And again, every day you open the news sites, you'll see another story on the chicken business of Africa, complaining bitterly about the dumped imports from Europe.
So this is a case of poultry protectionism. Does this reflect a wider South African position on free trade? Is South Africa a reasonably protectionist country?
Well, there have been tariffs in the past, but there's been huge. I mean, South Africa has been encouraged in the last 20 odd years since it gained democracy to open up to the rest of the world, to open up its markets, to increase trade, which it's been doing. But again, they're complaining that a lot of their trade's getting screwed. I mean, another one is textiles. I mean, when I first went to live in South Africa, say 18 years ago, if you were to go and buy clothes, it was a very expensive operation. But now there's thousands upon tons of Chinese imports coming in, cheap as anything, being brought into the South African market. And a lot of the textiles, one of the stories you're going to be doing in Forbes Africa in the next couple of months, a lot of the textile operations are closing down and losing jobs because they simply can't compete, because you can get clothes from China at one fraction of the cost, or you can get clothes from that are made in South Africa. So there's a lot of complaints around. There's a lot of industries that are getting really attacked by imports and what have you. But I mean, that's one of the things with the rand, you know, is the fact that when the rand loses its value, it makes a big impression on the economy, because a lot of the stuff from electronics to cars to everything, you know, watches, whatever you name it, are imported from around the world, and they're bought in hard currency. So that's one reason why a falling rand can increase inflation in South Africa.
What's the flip side to the story? So what are the industries in South Africa which have that comparative advantage internationally? My first thought goes to mining, but I'm not sure if that's actually right.
Well, commodities, yes. I mean, gold. There's not that many places in the world where you can dig it up. There's always going to be a demand for gold. Platinum, something like 70% of the world's platinum reserves are right in South Africa and Zimbabwe. There's also there's a lot of engineering, manufacturing in South Africa. There's a lot of manufacture of car parts and assembly of cars. I mean, we assemble our own Mercedes and BMWs in South Africa. There's a lot of industry. I mean, I always say about South Africa, if you want to get the depth of the economic base there, is that you could actually build a car from scratch. You could go out, find somebody who can give you your wheels, your chassis, your suspension, your bodywork, your paintwork, and you'll find some little factory somewhere in Johannesburg where you can get these things. So there's still a lot of demand for South African goods.
Well, I, for one, when I next go for my Nando's, I will be thinking of the South African Poultry Association and feeling bad for my eating my tasty chicken breast. Our next story today is 9 companies in South Africa have been accused of price fixing. So more on that theme of, should we say, economic lobbying, you know, trying to establish a cartel, or, you know, trying to enact some protectionism. Chris, what were these companies trying to sell, and how were they fixing their prices?
Well, one thing that staggers me, at a time when the world is abuzz and worried about terrorism and security and what have you, South Africa's doing dawn raids on fresh food producers, which is exactly what's been happening at the moment. The Competition Commission, which deals with not only mergers, but also questions about competition and consumer pricing, has deciding that there's a cartel going in the fresh food industry, which is obviously quite big. There's massive supermarket chains in South Africa, which are all fed by single points that buy and sell wholesale fresh food. And what they reckon is that there's about 8 or 9 companies who are acting as a cartel and fixing prices fixing prices to make it more profitable, obviously, for the members of the cartel. And also, they're saying that there's a system that they've set up where what they do is restrict supply until the shelves start running empty. And then what they do is wham the price up, which obviously the shops have got no choice but to pay, so to maximize their profits. So there have been dawn raids in Johannesburg and some of these companies.
Was this a case of explicit collusion? This is, these firms are, you know, rather than say, I think we have this more now in the West because we have such sophisticated competition protection authorities that companies tend to rely on, you know, more tacit signaling of price fixing. Were these companies actually just sitting around in a room and just saying that they were going to fix prices together?
Well, that's what they're saying, that, you know, this was like an organized thing where they all sat around a table and said, well, you know, what's the price of tomatoes going to be next month, et cetera, whatever suits us. That's what they're saying. I mean, it often happens. I mean, every industry you like, from tobacco to, you know, maize, commodities, sometimes you get this thing where you've got a small amount of companies basically dominating the market. It's what happens. But again, the fact that the authorities are trying to clamp down on it and stamp it out is actually a good sign.
That was Chris Bishop, managing editor, Forbes Africa magazine. I'm Alex Clark, and you've been listening to Conversations from Africa.
Conversations from Africa with Chris Bishop.